means to manage a life of ministry. Pastor Ron is not here this week. He is at in Georgia. His daughter is getting married, so you can be praying for them. They traveled down, and I believe they arrived yesterday, and they're in the dynamics because Juan is from Ecuador, and learning and trying to break down some language barriers as they communicate with his family and English, Spanish, and all that. So you can be praying for them in this week and the service to come. But this morning, as we gather together, I wanted to dive into what this looks like, managing a life of ministry. And this is going to stem from Saturday. A few of us got to go down to Lancaster area and to go to a Next conference. Christian Missionary Alliance on the Eastern Pennsylvania District did a conference for training up the next generation and what that looks like. And they asked me to do a seminar, and I actually did it on managing family life and ministry. A lot of the individuals there were full-time ministry and volunteers, and they're navigating family. And that's a big thing you hear about in ministry, is managing family life and ministry. And so this is something I really resonated with and thought it would be important to bring to you this morning, especially with Awana Sunday coming up next Sunday. And so as we dive into this, I want to start out with just the idea and the understanding of what a metaphor is. I've shared this before. It's a story that President Stumbo shared with us at a retreat a while back, I want to say 3-4 years ago, and it's resonated with me big time. And he was talking about the importance of metaphors in our lives, things that we picture that encourage us or challenge us. And he used the illustration. He was preaching a certain Sunday, and he preached three times in a given Sunday. And it was after the first service, and they were getting ready to start the second service, and there was a group gathered together to pray before the service, just like what we do back there with the elders and those that are part of the service. And as they were gathering around, they were praying for Pastor Stumbo, and he's thinking in his mind, and I've been there in the multiple services where he's like, all right, here we go, round two. All right, you know, that whole boxer illustration, you know, where you're just tired, you know, you sit down in the stool in the corner, and you take a deep breath, and you're like, all right, you get the repairs done, whatever, and then you get, all right, here we go, and they do that, let's do this, you know, everyone's thinking Rocky movies right now, right, and you get up, and you're like, all right, here we go, round two. And so this was his illustration. This is what he's thinking in his mind as the prayers start. This is the metaphor that he had in his mind, the picture of what this service was going to look like. He was going to be tired, but he was going to be ready, until a certain lady prayed for him, and that lady prayed this, something along these lines. And Lord, I pray for Pastor Stumbo. I pray that he would picture himself on that stage like a warrior with a spear, like the word of God in his hand, ready to pin Satan on the back wall. And I can still remember President Stumbo just like, I looked up during the prayer, and I was like, wait a sec, I'm a warrior? And I've got a spear in my hand, the word of God, and I'm like, chucking it at Satan and pinning him again. Like, it totally changed his perspective of going up on the stage and presenting the word of God to the people. And so I want to use that this morning as we look at this this idea of managing family, a life of ministry. And you're going to have to forgive me because I was just doing managing family life and ministry, and I want to focus on just our lives as individuals and how that plays out within our families and our relationships and ministries. So when I came up on this and I was thinking about this, I've always heard balancing family life and ministry, or balancing a life of ministry. And so I looked it up, and if you Google, I don't know if you guys can see that, but I Google search managing family life and ministry, and the first three searches, balancing family life and ministry, balancing family work and ministry, balancing family life and church ministry. This is what the first things you get when you come to it. And I was like, I don't know, I'm not sure. Let me think about this one a little bit and just kind of prayed for it. So, Cameron, can I borrow you for a second? You cool with this? I'll put you on the spot. Ladies and gentlemen, Cameron. All right. So I want you, I got a 5-pound weight here. You have a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 5. Can you please balance me out? Yes, balance me out, please. Yeah, just put them on the other hand. However you want to do it, just balance me out, bro. 1, 2, 3, okay, we're at 6. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, I think that's okay. All right. So I've got 5 over here, and I can't do the math really quick. What am I looking at here? 10? 15? Can you balance me out now? Because this one's getting a little... Yeah, so I've got 5 over here. Yep. Here, just give me the blue one. I'll take the blue one. Yeah, there we go. That's good. Just, yep, perfect. All right, so I've got 4 and 1 for 5 and 5. Nailed it. All right, thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Cameron. Ethan, you look comfortable. Come on up here. All clapping at your cousin like, all right, balance me out, man. How do you do? Pretty good. Nice job, Ethan. Nice job. All right, so I used this illustration on that Saturday. And if you noticed, I had my hands like this. Did anyone think to just take this off? What's our mindset when it comes to balancing? Add more. Right? I've got 5 here, and then I get 5, but then I pick up something else, right? Something comes along. Oh, snap. Now I got 2 here. Well, that doesn't add up. And so there's this mentality with this balancing thing that we keep hearing about, that the metaphor has a problem. It's like you're balancing these 2 plates and you're walking in fear. You're living a life of fear that what's going to happen? You're going to tip over. You're going to drop something. And so you're constantly kind of walking on eggshells and saying, you know, am I spending enough time here? Am I doing this right? Da, da, da. And as I was approaching this and thinking about this, I was like, we don't want to be balancing our lives when it comes to ministry. We want to manage them. We want to be managing our lives as it comes to ministry. And so I use this verse, and I know it deals with leadership of the church, but I think it's something that we can apply to our lives as individuals. And it's 1 Timothy 3:4-5. It says this, it says, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And again, this is meant for church leadership, but I think it's something that applies to us, because as we think about what it looks like when people look at us, if they're going to hear us, if they're going to hear our message of Jesus Christ, they're going to first look at who is sharing Jesus Christ. What does their life say? Is what they're saying matching up with what they're doing? And how does that play out through their lives as it pertains to how do they relate to their coworkers? How do they relate to their spouse? How do they relate to their kids? And so here we see, he must manage his own family well. People are looking, they see. If we want to be able to speak into people's lives and have a ministry that's effective, we have to manage our lives well. And so we're going to dive into this a little bit more, and as we look at priority lists. And I broke this down into two type of lists, a spiritual lists and physical lists. So as we look at a spiritual list, the first thing I want you to realize is that 50% of leadership is leading yourself. If you want to be able to manage your life, if you want to be able to manage and work with your spouse, your coworkers, your kiddos, your fellow believers, however this plays out, you have to be taking care of yourself. And that's going to play out through this: God, spouse, kids, ministry. If you are not healthy with the Lord, and this is what I mean by 50% of leadership is leading yourself, you have to be healthy with the Lord. That is your number one relationship. If that is not healthy, it is a trickle-down effect. I mean, think about it. If you're not walking with the Lord, what are you doing? How does your life look? And how does it play out in each of those relationships? God, spouse, kids, ministry. The second thing we look at is physical, our physical list. And some of this is going to be practical stuff that you can be thinking about and applying. But when it comes to our physical list, I don't know how many do to-do lists. To-do lists, we got. I write to-do lists. I put a little checkbox, but it really gives me satisfaction to go the whole way through and cross them out totally. But I see some head shakers. But I always used to think that God would be put in that list somewhere. He'd be a checkoff box. And as I processed this and thought about it, this came to mind. God should not be at the top of our to-do list, but rather helping us to set it up and accomplishing it. Will we write devotions on there? Absolutely. Will we write spending time prayer with our spouses, kids, family devos, however that looks? Absolutely. However, God is not a checkoff on your list. He is someone that is helping you set it up, that wants to speak in and through you, and he wants you to actually be aware of, you know what, you might put a list together, but it might not all get accomplished. I think of this when I came home one day, and I'm thinking, you know, I've got our whiteboard, which you'll see later, has a Steve to-do list on it. And so you get home, and you start thinking about what you have to do and navigating. For those who don't know, we have 7 kids at home, so 4 o'clock is chores, and so I'm trying to gear up, and often we have an evening activity going on in our house. And I remember coming home once and thinking, all right, what do I got to do? All right, I got to navigate. Okay, who's doing what? Make sure Waverly's not putting stuff places, and did we do dishes and that and everything? And then my one daughter came up to me after I walked in the house, and she said to me, she said, Daddy, will you dance with me? Now hear me on this. Ministry is important, right? I can't remember if we had CLG that night or if we had Bible study going on that night. And so, again, I'm in cleaning mode, trying to make sure we get supper before everyone starts showing up. And it's on my to-do list. And if this is where the walking with the Lord and paying attention to what he's trying to speak to you moment by moment comes into play. Because we don't want to miss these moments. And I said, sure. And we danced in the kitchen because she wanted to dance. Come to find out later on that she's been listening to songs that she wants to dance with me at her wedding. I wish I could say I'm always that sensitive to what the Spirit's doing. But in that moment, I was like, thank you, Lord. I didn't miss it. I didn't miss that one little moment that was very important for my daughter. So we have physical to-do lists. And God will adjust them. He's constantly adjusting them. So allow the Holy Spirit to speak in and through you. And again, going back to the spiritual and how important our personal relationship with the Lord is, because it is a trickle-down effect. If I come home and I am not in the right mindset of the Lord, and we were just talking about this in Sunday school this morning with the youth. One of them was working on patience. I was like, interesting, that's what we're talking about at youth group tonight. If I'm not at a place of patience in my life, guess what? I'm not walking with the Lord, because a fruit of the Spirit is patience. If I don't have patience in a given moment, I need to check myself, and I need to go back and say, Lord, I'm not right with you. Because if I'm right with the Lord, then the Holy Spirit's moving in and through me, and I will have the fruit of the Spirit in me. Love, joy, peace, patience. So if I come home and things aren't done and I start getting snippy with my kids because I'm being impatient, there's a trickle-down effect. Because I'm not walking with the Lord. Now I'm upset with my kids. My wife sees that I'm upset with the kids. You know, it's just like eggshells all around the house. And so the importance of our personal relationship with the Lord and where are we at, moment by moment, not day by day, moment by moment, moment by moment. Next thing I'm going to look at is communication. This is there's so many ways you could dive into this, but we're going to focus on, first and foremost, I'm saying prayer because it's not a point up here, but it's the one that I don't feel it should be a point, but it should be a regular process in your day. Constantly talking to the Holy Spirit, asking Him to give you guidance and direction. Again, going back to the moment by moment, seeing what's going on. All right, right now you guys are all listening to me, but when we get done praying and this service ends, God wants you and is asking you to engage with people. Moment by moment, He's speaking to you. He's worked out relationships that He wants you to engage in and be a part of. And we don't want to miss that. We don't want to miss that. So over all of this is prayer. Here's a tangible ones. One of the ones is calendars. When it comes to managing a life of ministry, this may seem funny, but it's huge because I realized the stress that it was bringing for our family, for work, interacting, is just being able to have a calendar that actually communicates what's going on. This is our Google Calendar, and I'll explain a little bit more about how calendars work, especially as it pertains to families, and making sure you're on the same page, because if you're not on the same page, things fall apart really quick. Even at church life, we have Google Calendar on the website, and you can download the Google Calendar so that you know what's going on in the body of Christ. But this is my wife and I. We use Google Calendars. Before, I had a church at work, and she had a church, she had a calendar at home, and I had a calendar at work. And we would handwrite them on there, but we never communicated. So I would schedule something for youth group or something like that, but I wouldn't ask what was going on at home. And then she'd be at home and the in-laws, and they'd set up something. And then we'd be like, oh, snap, you use that? Oh, man. And then we did a lot of, it took us a while, but I think we got it figured out. Calendars can be a huge, just getting on the same page when it comes to calendars. Another one that we just started as a family, and I honestly thought this was going to be not a big deal. I approached this, and I will humble myself and just call it what it is. I was doing this to appease my wife and to make my kids stop asking questions, okay? So my wife sent me this idea. Someone just created this in Lancaster not too long ago, and they were selling it, so she's a planner. My wife is a planner. I have tended to be a fly by the seat of the pants. All right, I'm very flexible, like go with the flow type. And my kids, we're noticing as they get older, are constantly asking, "What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? What's for lunch? What are we doing today? What are we doing today?" And you hear it once or twice, and it's not a big deal. But when you hear it all the time, it can kind of get to you, you know, and you find yourself checking with the Lord, making sure you're right with Him because you're constantly getting nagged. I think Scripture should say, children, do not exasperate your fathers, but no, it's fathers, do not exasperate your children. So we got this calendar, and we started doing it, and then the Lord revealed to me, look, this isn't about you, and I'm going to teach you through this. And so we're sitting down, and we do this every Sunday night after youth group. And the idea of getting together actually came from the Sanders, as they had talked about having their meetings together as a couple and just planning out family life. And so we started doing this, and we had this calendar, and I'm writing stuff in. And this has a bunch of different things on there. And honestly, I do not look at this at all because I have most of the stuff on my phone. But my kids look at it, okay? And I found out that it does help a lot. On Sunday night when we're looking at the week, and my wife is able to communicate stuff because she's a planner and she needs to verbalize it. For all of you fly by the seat of your pantsers, we have to listen to the planners. Okay? It's very important that we listen to the planners because you'll find out you're dropping stuff that you don't even realize and you're ticking people off and you don't even realize it. All right? So what I found out was if you look on the 30th, there's a whole bunch of stuff listed. Actually, if you go back to Google Calendar, it's got like three things listed, and it says nine more under it. So as we're going through this week, I'm sitting here, I'm like, what the heck is going on Wednesday? And I see that we have like people coming over all day for homeschool testing, and then we have our CLG at night, and there's just people there at our house all day long. And you know what the Lord taught me on that moment? Steve, you need to plan here. Do you really want your wife to have to worry about cooking on Wednesday night right before CLG? And it sounds dumb, but it was like the eye-opener for me of how important it is to communicate as spouses, as families, as to what's going on and how God is using ministry. This is just a tool. This isn't the end-all, be-all. But God uses it in pretty awesome ways. So when I say that, okay, you see, Wednesday for supper, we're having pizza from Joe's. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, dang, I should have been. Right. You know what that told my wife Sunday night? Wow, you care about me. Yeah? Yay, calendar. Right? And so it was just, again, it's silly, but at the same time, it's not. God wants to use these things to help us to manage a life of ministry. To manage a life of ministry. Another thing is whiteboards. Now, some people use notes. We use a whiteboard. This is our whiteboard at home. It came with the house that we rent. They have this huge whiteboard, and it has like folder things in there and stuff like that, and we just use it a lot, leaving notes. Maybe it's text messages. I don't know. But just things to communicate, to let your family, your friends know. Some people do text messages. We do this. Sometimes people write notes. My kids will write notes like, love you, Dad, and they'll close it, and then you open it, and you're like, oh, that's pretty awesome. You know what I mean? And obviously, there's the to-do list for Steve up there. Just different things that help you communicate so things don't get dropped. Or maybe things do need to get dropped, and you need to communicate that. So yeah, just a dry erase board. I know Amber got one for her kitchen on the refrigerator, so it's cool to see how they can be used. But all in all, it's just important to find out what works for your family, what works for you as an individual, how it looks to communicate, whether it's to coworkers, to church, to grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, grandkids, all of it, the best way to communicate physically. Then we move to the intangibles. And these are very much more important. Love and humility. I could probably stop right here and just let us focus our minds on what it means to communicate in love and to communicate in humility. I mean, we just sang about it a little bit ago, and you could definitely sense the presence of the Holy Spirit and just our hearts recognizing the living hope of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And it's because of that, when we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, that these words come to life. Again, these communications aren't just verbal. They're by what we do as well. It says this, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and gave to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and deprived generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. This is an intangible. It's something that the Lord does in and through us. As we focus on what Jesus did on the cross, I dare not trust no other name, right? Cornerstone. It's all about Jesus. He's the foundation of who we are, and it builds from that. He set the example. He humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. Nothing communicates love and humility more than what Jesus Christ did. And that needs to be found in us as we navigate our lives, as we manage our life. Manage has this sense of intentionality. You are thinking about what you're doing. We are not here just to exist, to go week to week, day by day, and just be here. You think of the parable of the talents, right? They were asked to be stewards of what is entrusted to them. And that's what God is asking us to do. We've been entrusted with Jesus Christ, with the gospel message, and he wants us to live it. He wants people to see it in and through us, to be like shining stars. Another intangible that I want to point out is the to beware of the unspoken. When it comes to communication, often we have to be sensitive to what we think doesn't always come out in our words, and if people don't know what we're thinking or expecting, you can't expect them to do it. Unfortunate thing is, because they didn't do it, we often relate to them because they didn't do it, but they never knew they should have done it. Did you follow all that? Example of this is just like for me personally is I have to be careful when I come home that I'm not, they don't know how my day went, whether good or bad. They have no idea. And if I come home and just had a rough day or what have you, and I come home and I've got to, again, we go back to a check yourself, right? And if I'm not in the right mindset when I come home, I'm going to have unspoken expectations. And I can tell you right now, specifically on my children, because they could be playing and being good. They could have done all their chores, okay? And they could be playing a game nicely on the floor, but the minute the decibel gets a little bit too high, what happens? I've found that I'm getting more and more snippy with my kids. So it's, guys, knock it off. Keep it down in there. I'm putting an unspoken expectation on them because of how I feel. Right? And there's a difference. There's a difference if I were to check myself beforehand and be like, all right, Lord, they're not doing anything wrong. Are they being a little louder than normal? Yeah. Can I correct that? Yeah. But overall, they're getting along. They're having fun. They're being siblings. So there's a difference between me saying, hey, guys, keep it down, than me saying, hey, guys, I love that you're playing together. Could you just turn it down a little bit? There's a difference. And when we come in with unspoken expectations, we can create a lot of issues, whether that's at work, whether that's in people's lives. And so it's something to be aware of as we manage our personal lives, whether that plays out with coworkers, spouses, kiddos, even within the body. We navigate it all the time as staff. We have these thoughts of what we expect or what someone should do or a leader, and if that doesn't happen, then why didn't it happen? Well, was that communicated? Was it expected of them or not? So be careful of unspoken expectations. And the last one's going to sound kind of simple, but you need to talk to those you love, those you trust. You'll find out a lot about yourself and what's going on in your life and how it plays out in ministry. Where are you ministering? Where do you find the Lord at work in your life? What has he challenged you with? And are you talking to those people, asking them, hey, how's this going? Or just having them evaluate you? I had my kids do a pros and cons list before the seminar. And I was amazed at what was put down and what they were picking up that I had no idea that they were thinking. But what did it require me doing? Asking. I needed to ask them. And so sometimes it sounds simple as taking that time and saying, hey, let's talk. Let's talk. We have a lot of stuff going on, right? A lot of stuff going on. Things we're trying to juggle. Things we're trying to balance. And this last one is really, really important for that. We might need to be putting some stuff down and spending more time talking. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I want to read for you John 17, when Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays for us. He prays for himself first, then he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for those that will believe because of their message. That's us. And when we think about what it looks like to live a life that glorifies God, to manage this life that he's entrusted us with, I want you to hear these words that he prayed 2,000 years ago before his crucifixion. My prayer is not only is for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen. Let's stand together.